In the wake of the death of 28-year-old childcare worker Molly Ticehurst this week, there have been a lot of questions being asked about whether our processes for dealing with domestic violence are sufficient and what more can be done. The Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence Commissioner, Michaela Cronin, has called for a national roundtable to assess the number of women's deaths, saying she's very distressed about the level of fear that women are expressing. So, what will this achieve? Lula Dembele is a survivor advocate and the co-founder of the Independent Collective of Survivors, and she joins us now. Hi there, Lula.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
You're welcome. I'm just wondering, I'd like to get your take on this idea of a round table to examine women's deaths. Is this what's needed here? Is this what you'd like to see?
I think in relation to domestic violence homicides, we actually do know a lot about what leads to domestic violence homicides. We have national data collected on the trajectories towards domestic homicide. We collect data on every single case and we analyse that very carefully nationally. So while I understand the urgency and the desperation many people feel to come together and to discuss what can we do about this increase in the rate that we have seen of men murdering women this year, I think we actually know a lot and we know enough to take action right now in some key areas that have been called for a long time that will help prevent and reduce men's violence against women.
So you don't see the need for a roundtable? You'd prefer to see action right now? Is that what you're saying?
I think there is limited utility if we're not taking action on what the recommendations existing are, mm-hmm. and if there isn't an understanding that we can act now, that it isn't beyond us, it's not always overwhelming. Mm-hmm. We do have the opportunity to identify perpetrators and to take different actions to stop people who are using violence from continuing that pattern of behaviour.
If I can turn our attention there to the National Plan to End Violence Against Women and Children. This has been running for a couple of years now. The Independent Collective of Survivors, which you founded, wrote the opening statement in that plan. If I can quote to you in that, you've written, "We know what needs to change. No meaningful solutions can be made without us. And genuine change begins with a willingness to listen." Do you feel as though you have been listened to, that you're being engaged with? What sort of progress have you seen so far?
There is a lot more engagement happening directly with victim survivors in policy settings. But what we are seeing is that our recommendations for what needs to change aren't necessarily being taken up and those being the things that are implemented. So while we are being consulted and there's a lot of work that goes into understanding our individual experiences, when it comes to the changes we want to see, that's where the system seems to take away agency from victim survivors in what we need. And we have seen time and time again from recent cases in Queensland that have had to have, you know, review after review of systematic failings, that when women are saying, "I am in danger, my life is at risk, my children's life is at risk, this AVO or this domestic violence order is doing nothing to protect me," and the police dismiss them as cop shopping or dismiss the urgency. And for police who will quite willingly go out and publicly state that domestic violence is 40% or 60% of their call outs, why do they not take this seriously when it is one of the most high risk places for murder to happen? We shouldn't have to wait for a reaction. Our policy settings and our processes and our systems need to orient towards taking intervention to stop further violence from happening, not waiting for harm to occur.
Yeah, prevention is one of those four domains in the national plan, being prevention, early intervention, response and recovery and healing. Lula Dembele is an advocate for domestic violence survivors. She's here discussing the calls to convene a national roundtable to address women's deaths here on RN Drive. Just staying with the national plan to end violence against women and children, Lula, it has an aim of a 25% annual reduction in female victims of intimate partner violence. Are we on track at all to achieve that? If not, how do we get on track?
No, we're not. We don't even really have appropriate measures in place to understand if what we're doing is effective. Since 2018, I have been calling for a national study and data collection on who perpetrates domestic, family and sexual violence, because only a reduction in the perpetration of domestic, family and sexual violence is going to keep women safe. And until we look at perpetration and perpetrators, we keep burdening victims with the responsibility to seek help to stop it. And they are not the ones who have the problem. The problem lies with men's use of violence, with people who perpetrate domestic, family and sexual violence. And we currently, as a country, do not know who they are, how many of them there are, how they use violence, what enables that violence, and what works to stop them. So we're really missing some key fundamentals.
So what percentage of perpetrators do we know things about? I mean, do we know 10, 20%, or is it much smaller than that, that those that come into contact with the justice system?
Well, one thing we know is that less than 2% of people who use domestic and family sexual violence will ever come into contact with the criminal justice system. Okay. So that means 98% of perpetrators are going unseen, are going unchecked, and are continuing to commit domestic terror in their homes against their partners, against their ex-partners, and to their children who live in those environments as well.
So if
we really need to work to stop that intergenerational transfer of trauma and violence.
Yeah, so if that's the case, 98% of those people who perpetrate this violence, if that's that high, how do we, what do we know about the best way of reaching them, of contacting them, you know, when it comes to, you know, early intervention, et cetera?
We don't. Because we do not have that data. We are not looking at who uses domestic, family and sexual violence. We are not systematically surveying for that data. We are not collecting that data. A recent study by the Jesuit Social Services in the Man Book studied 18 to 35-year-old males in Australia. And if you look through their data, they asked 8 questions about self-identifying of behaviours of perpetration. And you're looking at rates of 10%, of 29% of men using various forms of violence in intimate partner relationships.
One of the domains in the national plan is early intervention, as I mentioned just before. What about those people who do identify as needing help to prevent them from acting violently? They might be concerned about their actions, their level of aggression. How easy is it for those people to get support that they need?
It's hard. We have limited services helping people who want to change their behaviour. There is no violence, and they do have a line for men to call, which can provide a brief intervention service for people who self-identify. But most of the work that goes into changing those behaviours only occurs after someone's come into contact with the criminal justice system, and often they've been mandated to complete a men's behavioural change course. That's a really hard point of time to convince someone to change their behaviour. And also it means that public funding for sponsor places for people who might be concerned earlier on in their offending is very hard for them to get into. It's very limited. The numbers that we're talking about is thousands upon thousands of people using domestic, family and sexual violence. We need to scale to that size. We currently have a reactive case one by one by one. What we need is primary prevention for whole of population work, but then targeted interventions. And one of the things we do know is that children who experience violence in the home, unfortunately, without pathologizing them, I'm one of them myself, means that you're more likely to go on to perpetrate violence as an adult or experience re-victimisation as an adult. We can intervene with those kids. We can help them with recovery and healing. We have to understand that is a key opportunity for prevention. And we have to look at the men who are using violence right now, because they are the existing threat. What are we doing to stop them from harming the people in their lives? And these aren't the monsters. This isn't people you think, oh, I would know about that person. The people using domestic, family and sexual violence are already people that we know, already people we like, people we love. They are people in our communities. They are our neighbours. They are our cousins. They are our best friend's partner. This is happening in plain sight, but it is hidden because we continue to fool ourselves into thinking that these are this set of small amount of bad men out there doing these bad things. Mm-hmm. No, this is a widespread issue.
Yeah, these are sentiments that are in the opening statement in that National Plan to End Violence Against Women and Children. Lula Dembele, Advocate for Domestic Violence Survivors, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.